Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. I'm your host, Kim Cockerham. I'm a member of the Let's Trek team, and I just want to thank you for being here today and joining together to say that our health is important. Becoming healthy is the best decision you'll ever make. It is worth it. I hope you know you are worth it. Whether you're just venturing down this road for the first time or you've been at this thing called healthy living for a long time, we welcome you. I hope what you find, too, with the show is that we are always learning new things, and that's what it is about health, learning things, being aware and listening, watching to see what you can do and what speaks to your heart about what you want to do for your health. So I just want you to know that we're here to support each other, learn from each other, celebrate accomplishments, and sometimes hold each other accountable, whatever you need. We are a community here, and I hope you feel that you're not out there alone. We're going down this road together, okay? So we're going to get moving. I want to let you know we're taking questions or give us your updates or your successes that you had. Just press one, okay? So we are going to we were going to chat about exercise today. We're kind of breaking out the month that we touch on because the show's about the whole person. So we're not always going to talk about maybe eating things, food, the research stuff that we find that's new, or even old. That's what we're finding a lot of is things that have been around for years and years and years. You know, they're coming back and they're true. And so, but we're also talking about, like I said, exercise, and we have a Eden on about meditation. So we're looking at the whole person because we are, you know, it's not just, you know, what we eat. It's everything you're dealing with all day long with work and family. There's just so much to come about to make you the best person that you can be. So, like I said, we were going to chat about exercising, but we're going to fast forward that to next week. I wanted to give a big shout-out of encouragement and support to a gentleman I met at the CMC, Jeff Russell, and he's actually competing in a bodybuilding competition in Saskatchewan, Canada, tomorrow. And I'll tell you, the discipline of bodybuilders, I had a brother who was a bodybuilder, with their workouts and their diet is incredible. Even at the CMC, Jeff brought his food. He carried his lunchbox around with him. And I look at that and I just think, oh, my gosh, the discipline. And, you know, it's commitment. It's that thing that I know all of you guys are out there doing. And you know, we do our best at it. And sometimes, you know, when we falter a little bit, just, you know, give yourself grace and get back on that path because your commitment is to your health. How we get there may be different ways, and we may be better at it sometimes than others, but our commitment is to our health. So looking forward to having Jeff on with us next week so we can hear about his competition and, you know, a little bit. He's got such a passion of helping drivers, and that's why he wanted to actually knew he had to walk that walk and be healthy himself and show it. And I just remember him saying at the CMC, you know, the gym, the truck is his gym, and there's so much these guys can do while you're on the road. And that's, we're going to talk about being a bodybuilder type, you know, buffed person, you know, but there's so much benefit to, you can take that, and the benefit, we've talked before about lean body mass and so forth. So we're putting that with our eating and you know, learning and walking that path. So join us next week. I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to hear how Jeff is. So think about him tomorrow, and send him your encouragement. And anyway, so I'll get babbling about that. But I'm so grateful to bring Kevin's joining with us today because I am so grateful for the reading he does and the research, and not only that, but living it. It's so obvious, so obvious of the benefits that we've been talking about. No grain. And so I said, we're on this no grain train and we're learning more. So we're just going to hop right in. And I cannot wait. I got to hear a little bit about what Kevin was reading about and learning about. And I can't wait to hear the rest of it now, right along with you guys. So gratefully that they're in Oregon this time. Did I say that? Is it Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon.
In Oregon. Okay, I know when I say it, it doesn't sound right when it's in Oregon. I'm like, so I'm so glad you guys are back there. What does that feel like, too? Just for your whole self to just be back home.
Oh, it's just amazing. I wander around with a smile on my face because it feels so good. We've been gone so long, and this trip just had some challenges, and then the last, you know, 3 or 4 days just pushing through in the car to get back here, and that was the toughest time to try to keep those habits up. And now I can get back into a routine. I've got, well, I sort of have everything here. A lot of the stuff I have is still in the RV, so, you know, because we had that all loaded up, but we'll get that back here in the next week or two. But it's back into the routine, and it feels great.
That's great. And, Kevin, you really, you haven't gone for a long time, and you had just started down this journey. And I'm trying to think, when did we first start talking about the vegetables and the, you know, the fermenting? That was, I'm going to think, like February or March.
You know, I think it was actually like October of last year.
Oh, was it really? It was before the holidays.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was. I think it was before the holidays when we first started talking about it. So, you know, it's been quite a while now. And, you know, I can remember back then, and we did start talking about the fermented vegetables and why I got interested in that, why I was doing it. And I read the book, and one of the comments I made when I came on your show the first time, and I don't remember when it was that, you know, these probiotics were important, this whole good gut bacteria, you know, I'm reading a lot about it. So I think this is, you know, going to be something. And it's been a while now that we've been talking about that.
So then it turns out,
each book I read, they all touch on it. They all talk about it. So Wheat Belly, they talked about it quite a bit, and Grain Brain they did, and one of the other books I read, and I thought, you know, I keep hearing more and more about this, and they would talk about the benefits, and, you know, some of them were fairly obvious, better digestion, you know, things like that. And then I read another book, and they started actually talking about how the digestive system was the second brain. Like, you know, they, so many signals traveling back and forth between the two that they're now looking at it, the second brain. And I thought that was just wild, but I kept seeing it in different articles and different things I was reading. And, you know, that's what we were talking about the end of last year, the beginning of this year. And, you know, we talked about the books to read, Wheat Belly and Grain Brain. And, you know, just the importance. So, you know, we got a lot of feedback. People started fermenting the vegetables. We, you know, we've got people doing it now and talking about it and calling into the show. And we go from that, and, you know, as that builds, I continued to do more research, read more books. The more I read, the more I started to really understand this. And then the most recent book, which kind of finally puts it all together, is the new book by Dr. Perlmutter, who is the author of Grain Brain. His new book is Brain Maker. So I thought, okay, it's going to be, you know, one more book about the wheat and the diet and the connection between the two. Well, I was really surprised that now the entire premise of the book Brain Maker comes back to the gut bacteria. So all the way back, full circle, through all the, you know, no grains, low sugars, all these different changes, but what they all tie into is that gut bacteria. And that was really the whole book. That was kind of surprising. Is 80% of the whole book keeps coming back to the gut bacteria.
That is fascinating. Why do you think they call it the second brain? Do they delve on that more, or in that book?
Yeah, we hear the good chemicals all the time, the serotonin, the dopamine, that, you know, these are the chemicals that cause us to feel good and do the right things and sleep right and have more energy. And, you know, they seem to control all of those things. And we thought those chemicals were produced in the brain, but they're really not. They're produced in the gut. the gut produces more of those things than the brain itself does.
Hmm.
So now they're, you know, they were saying second brain. Now they're almost saying maybe there's even more going on psychologically in the gut than in the head. They think the connection's that powerful.
Wow. Why do you think we haven't put much focus on this until recently?
You know, some of it I think is just the latest breakthroughs in medicine, the things that they're able to tell, you know, genetically,
mm-hmm.
that maybe we couldn't mm-hmm. tell before, the things that we can measure now. And I think some of it is finally just putting together a lot of small pieces that maybe nobody had ever looked at all at one time.
Yeah.
And, you know, then the whole idea of going back and comparing, you know, far enough back to the paleo. So now you're hearing
mm-hmm.
things about paleo diet.
When
we start to take what we're seeing in the test and then looking at it and saying, well, that makes sense. That's how we were supposed to live. That was the food we used to eat. So those comparisons now are really starting to make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was it in his new book that just really stuck out to you?
You know, there's so many connections he makes about, you know, the diet first, then that creates the good gut bacteria, then that in turn solves just about everything. So, you know, we always knew for some reason if you ate the right diet, you did better. But now they're showing exactly how that happens. You know, what is the mechanism? And the one area that I thought was the most interesting was in weight gain. And, you know, I've said this. I used to say weight gain is just math. Calories in, calories out,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the difference is the weight you gain or lose. And that's not true. It's not even close to being true. But nobody could figure out, you know, it doesn't make sense. Nobody could really explain why it wasn't true. So that was the tough part. How do you explain how the gut bacteria is causing or what is causing the difference in the weight gain? How could you put somebody on a 700-calorie diet, which they've proven, compare them to somebody who's on a 3,000-calorie diet, and you should see this huge difference in weight gain? Well,
mm-hmm.
they didn't. They could show people losing weight no matter which calorie count it was, and it wasn't because of exercise or activity. So how does science explain that? And they couldn't, but they saw the results. And that was why it was so confusing. You can't explain why it's happening, but you can see the results. And now what it's coming down to is the gut bacteria itself. There are two distinct groups of gut bacteria, not necessarily good or bad, just two different groups. It turns out one of these groups is better at pulling the calories out of the food. So it takes all the calories out of the food, and this other gut bacteria isn't good at doing that, and it doesn't get all the calories out of your food. The calories pass through your body. So depending on which type of gut bacteria you have more of, you could eat a lot more calories, but if you have enough of the certain gut bacteria, they won't pull the calories out of the food.
So how do you know where you're at right now? Is there anything other than
what you've seen happen with people on paleo diets.
Yeah.
Or really
yeah.
low carb, and they say, the weight just fell off. You know, you see them, they're eating all this food, they're eating all kinds of fat and all kinds of calories, and yet you look at them and they're lean, really lean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one of the ways you know. I mean, when you've got the right balance, you eat all the right foods, you get all the nutrients out of the food, so it's all nutrient dense, yet your body passes the calories back out, so you don't gain weight. Whereas if you have too many of the other gut bacteria, they will process all the calories, and they won't absorb the nutrients as well. So now you're calorie overloaded but nutrient starved.
So it sounds like this book just kind of pulled it all together for you too. I mean, because you've experienced this with when you went to no grain, and so now you read this and it just kind of re-solidifies what all you've learned and experienced with what you're doing.
Yeah, I can see, you know, and I could kind of see it as I was reading the books, each one, and seeing the changes. And but the other thing I'm finding is the changes just keep changing and the results keep getting better.
So we've got a lot of people that, especially like at the CMC afterwards, you know, that are, and I love it, they're so willing to learn and want to try things, and I'm going to try this, you know. So I guess what you're trying to say to them or anybody listening is, you're on the right track, right? And you're finding it, and there's even more information for it. And what, you know, and it's not just weight loss, what you're saying, too, as well, because the book you were reading, you said, with being the second brain, it does so much other things. So you get somebody on here listening that, you know, is in pretty good shape, doesn't really want to lose, you know, weight. What are some of the other things that they'll find by doing this?
You know, there's a couple issues here. The one is that the lose weight seems to be the one people are most interested in, the one that, you know, we have a lot of people who are overweight, have been overweight, have tried all the different diets. So that's really the one that kind of starts all the others. You know, once you're doing all the right stuff, the weight just starts to come off. And as the weight comes off, all of the other conditions start to go away. So the fact that you're losing the body fat, that has a chemical change that causes those things. And you're also controlling the blood sugar so much better, so you're not seeing all the blood sugar spikes and dips. So those things combined start to take away all the chances of all the other conditions we talk about, high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, the sleep apnea, then the more problems you have with sleep, then the less sleep you get, the worse all the other conditions get, then the worse all the other conditions get, the harder it gets to sleep, and it's just that negative spiral that you get into.
Yeah. You know, that's another book I have to, like I had shared before, I'm behind on the reading with these, and I'm just fascinated. I'm kind of a low-carb person anyway, because that is the way I have to deal with my weight. When I want to lose weight, I know I feel better that way, and I eat that way. Now, I hadn't gone more than no grain, and I think that is the next step to go as well. So it's fascinating to me what you have learned from this and what people are experiencing too. I know we have some people online too that have just started as well. Can we bring some of them on and we can chat a little bit?
Yeah, let's do that.
So we're going to go to John. John is in Ohio. So hi, John.
Hi,
how are
you doing, Kim? I am doing great. How are you doing, Kevin? A week ago, Kevin really, really inspired me when I called into the show. And on the fly, I made a commitment. And those are always the ones that are exciting when you're not really planning them out. But, of course, because you're not planning them out, you didn't plan them out. And you know what Kevin says about failing to plan. So I made a commitment a week ago to go wheat-free. And I like to call it a success, although I think I made a mistake one day. I had 2 tablespoons of granola that I threw into my yogurt and didn't have the label to the granola, so I'm sure that there was some wheat in there, and I wasn't throwing the yogurt away, so I said, you know what, I'll just eat it, and I'll live with the consequences. But otherwise, I had absolutely no wheat at all, except for those 2 tablespoons of granola for 1 full week now.
Good for you. Did you find it easy to do on the road?
I actually found it pretty easy to do. It wasn't horrible because, quite honestly, I had my fermented vegetables to fall back on. I carry a freezer on my truck, so I'm pretty lucky that I carry a decent amount of food on my truck. And so, you know, I was eating salmon and eating a lot of other things. What I cut out was the stuff that I should have been cutting out years ago. Like, I'm completely addicted to Cheetos. I love Cheetos.
Oh.
So I couldn't, you know, buy any Cheetos. And I have to admit, two times I found myself standing in the truck stop in the chip aisle looking at Cheetos with my mouth watering.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, no, I can't do this. You know, what's going on? I have to also admit, too, I think the first 2 days that I was doing this, I was getting psychosomatic headaches. Because on Saturday and Sunday, I was having some pretty good headaches. And I think that was just planted into my head because, you know, I had heard what Brittany was saying. And what other people have said about getting off of wheat and getting headaches. Past Sunday, I have had no ill effects for me personally. I have had no headaches. I've had no nothing. The biggest thing that I have lamented on all week long is the foods that I'm losing. And I know, Kevin, you told me not to think about what you're losing. But, you know, I'm Italian. You know, I hate to say it, but 99.9% of our food is based around wheat. I mean, think about it.
Yeah,
between the breads and the pastas, it's insane. Now, I've only eaten pasta over the last maybe couple of 4 or 5 years. I only eat pasta like every couple of months. I don't eat it a lot. But I still, you know, I always knew that I had it there. Now it's gone.
Well, and there's some alternatives out there, so we'll have to, you know, and try them. I know there's a really good, I mean, I've heard people rave about this, a black bean pasta out there, too. So we'll have to look at some alternatives and try it. But you're at the point where you do feel like you're depriving yourself of some things, that you'll cross a point, like you did, like even saying that Cheeto out, where you feel so good. And you just don't want to go there anymore, you know? And so you will get there. And I think all of us, you know, that's a good lesson to learn. Or just tuck back, because you will find all of a sudden is that you're going to be feeling so good and on this path that you're just not going to go back. I don't know if I have an alternative to Cheetos, but we got some alternative to pasta.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with losing Cheetos. It's one of those bad habits that I knew I needed to break. And it took me making a commitment last week to break that habit. So I'm okay with that. As far as the pastas go, you know, over the last 15, 20 years, I've tried a lot of different pasta replacements. I have never, and I'll underline never, found anything that's, you know, that is anything like what Mama used to make. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I bet.
So,
I bet.
You know, so I'd rather have nothing than have the fake stuff. It's probably why I never used to use margarine instead of butter. My thought was, God, you know, if you're going to have margarine, you might as well, you know. And of course, I was found out right after all these years that, you know, margarine's horrible for you and you're better off having butter. But, you know, so my biggest thing, my biggest challenge for the future is learning to purge those thoughts from my head of lamenting the loss of, you know, garlic bread. Or, God, this week I have been craving pizza like you wouldn't believe. Like really, really crazy, crazy craving. Like I was willing to go to Domino's. Now I hate Domino's pizza, hate it. But I was willing to go to Domino's because I was craving it so bad. And I just kept reminding myself, no, this is not, you know, this is 90% of this, John, is psychosomatic. You're doing it to yourself. This is really not a physical thing. And I have to say, I talk myself off the ledge almost every single day.
And there's, you know, and it's you said the key word there is that it's a craving. Your body is really powerful with that kind of stuff. So if you can work through this, especially anybody just starting something, you know, any new path or, you know, this is, you know, you get to the point, this is how you decide this is just the way you're going to eat because you feel good and it's good for your body and that's it. And the cravings will still come back, but good for you for, you know, just being committed. It's that way, being committed. Brittany sent me a note too. She did that cauliflower pizza. And she has posted pictures of it. It looks fabulous, so I have to try that as well.
What is it?
Brittany knows. It's made with cauliflower. So
I'll just
see if she can send us the recipe. It's in the cookbook for the Grain Brain cookbook. So that's what's fun, I think, you guys, about, you know, when you choose to, you know, let some of the stuff go that we're used to and it's surrounding us, there's so much else you can get out there and get creative and Google things and get on Pinterest even and look up recipes and you'll see something. And what I find is that, too, what I've seen, that a lot of them have fewer ingredients. So it could be a really good way of eating just in general, too, on the road. So, you know, just keep looking and keep learning and come back. And the reason why Kevin hasn't chimed in here is his phone kind of cut out on him, so it died. so we lost him. So otherwise he would have had some good pointers for you as well. So, but anyway, Sean, good luck for the week ahead. Are you on the road all week?
Actually, I am. I treated myself because I did good this week. I said, you know what? I'm going to get a hotel for a couple of days and just kind of mellow out, catch my breath, you know, and give myself a pat on the doing well this
good
week for you know, resisting the cravings that I've had. And, you know, I'm actually going to go to – I normally don't go out to restaurants. I'm going to go out to a couple of restaurants
and
really now challenge myself because, let's face it, you know, everything
–
in a restaurant is going to be a challenge. But what I've also decided to, and this inspiration comes from Kevin, that, you know, there's always something at the restaurant I can eat. I just have to be willing to ask for it. I don't have to just order off the menu. You know, you have to say, you know, can you exchange this for this? Like, I went to IHOP last night, and I love breakfast. And, but, you know, a lot of things in breakfast have wheat in it. So I picked out, you know, it was eggs and a bunch of, you know, different meats. And I told them, I don't want any pancakes. And for the toast, can I just get a fruit cup instead? And the lady who actually was funny, she kind of chuckled. She goes, I haven't had anybody ask for a fruit cup in I don't know how long. And I just chuckled. I went, really? Are you kidding me? She goes, everybody wants toast. I said, yeah, everybody but me. So, you know, it was really easy, but that was easy to do that. You know, like I said, that it's the cravings that was the hard part. But what I figure is that for me, although I don't know what I'm going to be ready for, because as you and your listeners know, I'm the slow mover. I know the next step is eliminating other grains. And I'm going to make the commitment to downloading on Audible Wheat Belly and Grain Brain.
Good.
And I'm going to go through those books over the next week and see what I get out of them and see if I'm ready for that challenge.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. So, baby steps.
I'm challenging myself.
So, we'll hear about it. Good. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. Okay, John, well, have a great week. It's a beautiful weekend here in Ohio. So, look forward to talking to you and hearing about next week. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, take care. Bye, dear.
Thank you.
We're going to head off to Tennessee and talk to Daniel. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing well, Miss Kim.
Good, good. So what would you like to share?
Well, I'm preparing my my dinner right now, which is, if you would have talked to me 2-3 weeks ago, I would have told you you're nuts if I'd have been eating what I'm eating.
So what changed?
Well, when I went to the Mid-America Trucking Show, I happened to run into a lady who works with truck drivers on this MetaFast meal replacement plan thing, and it sounded really good. I brought it to Kevin. He doesn't like meal replacements, but you know what? The way I looked at it was I might not be able to do what he's doing food-wise, but it's a step in the right direction, and it's better than what I had been eating. And so far, I'm down 9-10 pounds right now.
That's awesome. And, so is it 3 days? Is it all? Tell me what is it? 2 shakes and a meal, or is it 3? You know, is it all liquid?
Believe it or not, paleo and this share a lot in common. That's why I'm trying to get off of this and go directly to paleo because it's probably a little bit cheaper. But I eat 5 of these meal replacements a day, and then what they call a lean and green. So basically, my quote-unquote lean and green has been a grilled chicken breast with some salad. But all of these meal replacement things, I guess, they have got a ton of words in here. I don't even know how to probably pronounce.
I know. I agree with you. But, you know, you're looking at the short term, so you got to, you know, congratulate yourself. It's what this has done for you, what I see maybe it's doing, is that it takes away the choices. You know what you're going to have today, and it's going to get you on track for, you know, then on the healthy track. So you said you were only doing this a short term. What are you talking, week, 2 weeks, month?
I figure I want to drop as much weight as I can on this particular plan and see how much it does have me lose. But in the meantime, I'm doing – I just recently, you know, really buckled down to start really researching the whole paleo thing and what foods work on it, what doesn't. And I like blue cheese. So today – I was looking up, it's like, okay, on a paleo, what can you have for blue cheese? And from what I could figure, it's the blue cheese itself is like less than X amount of, so there's a possibility it could be contained gluten, but the higher end stuff, I guess, doesn't have, it's just less chance. It's very, very, very minute amounts.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. But right now, the probably the worst thing I'm doing to myself is all the chemicals I'm putting in, especially the occasional diet drink. Diet drinks I'm having aren't terrible. You know, I found that Diet Dr. Pepper tastes exactly the same, pretty much, except for that slight aftertaste you get in about a minute after you get done drinking it. And actually, Lipton's got a really good green tea that's in their diet of. But they both got aspartame, which is kind of poison. So that's...
Yeah. You know, and your body, interprets it as the same as sugar. So, I mean, it's good that you're aware. You know, maybe next week, and I know it's kind of a fun, and my one daughter put me onto this, that club soda. Get some club soda and load it up with some, you know, some lemons and limes and stuff in there. And you get that bubbly. that that pop might, that might be what's satisfying you with pop. You know, it's a little bit different. To me, it's a step up from water. But Tri Club Soda was a little bit of like a lemon in there. Or put an orange.
See, I thought lemons were no go. It's too many carbs in there.
Well, you're not using that much. You're not putting a whole lemon in there. It does have carbs. I mean, if you were doing a complete low-carb diet, per se, yeah, you wouldn't use a whole lemon in there. So just a little bit. And I wouldn't buy the juice. I would get a real lemon and put a little bit in it because a little bit goes a long way.
Okay. Because yeah. I've been doing whatever I can to find something other than the stuff that they've given me here.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it is a giant pain to find stuff that is low carb. You can find low fat all day long. But the low carb,
well,
I mean, I found stuff that is low carb and high in fat. It's like, woohoo!
Are they keeping you off vegetables? You said you had, would you have chicken and some vegetables? Are they keeping you off vegetables? Are you allowed to have as much salad and greens as you're allowed
I'm only supposed to have like a cup of of salad, and that's if it's got less stuff in there. If it's got more stuff in it, then it's only a half a cup because they're trying to control the amount of carbs that are in there.
Yeah,
but
the only stuff I've had
of mine, if I go to Wendy's and get their garden side salad thing, there's like this red bell pepper, the little cherry tomatoes and cucumbers. That's it.
Yeah.
Besides the salad. And it is only one or two of those.
Okay. So how long did you say you're doing that, Dan? How long are you planning on doing that specific one?
I'm on the second week.
Okay. And you're going how long? Because you're purchasing these meal replacements,
undetermined.
Right?
So I don't know how long I'm going for. If I find a better option sooner than later, then I transfer sooner than later.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Well, good for you. I mean, you've made a change, and it sounds like, you know, I agree with you, like, not wasting on meal replacements forever. Find real food, you know, and when you get over to that and eating real food and clean food, you'll just take it to that next step. So,
I will say the best part of my day is eating real food.
There you go. Yeah, you know what? You know, and it goes back to, we had Eden on about being mindful. You suddenly become aware of just the pleasure of eating, you know, good food. If you happen to drink your food all the time, then you get a chance to eat. Just take that. Be extra mindful for that meal, okay? And just that's just an added benefit, you know, that you can't really measure that you've gotten from this. So, okay, well, let us know how you're doing. Give us a call next week, okay, Daniel? Love to hear how you're doing.
All right. You have a great day.
You too. Bye now. Okay, we're going to head over to Illinois and talk to JW. This is JW, I think. I haven't got to talk to you in a while.
Well, good afternoon, Kim. Glad to hear you on the radio.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, doing great. I was hoping Kevin would still be on the line, and I would ask him the question. But I guess you and I will run it, you know, run it by and see what you think.
Okay, let me know. Yeah, his phone just died. He got dropped for a while. I couldn't hear him, and then all of a sudden it was gone. So
my question was this thing that he's on now, the paleo. I don't know what else it is.
No grain. Yeah.
Yeah. How does it really compare, or is there a comparison between it and the Eat to Live program?
You know, it actually compared to what maybe Kevin was doing before, but this is probably even more close to Eat to Live than I think a lot of plans are, except with the exception of the animal products, because it is eating a lot more vegetables and greens, and it has a little bit more fat, I believe, than the Eat to Live. Now, they do the avocado, but a lot of the fat is more unlimited than what I think I remember Eat to Live might be.
Maybe depending on your goals or your reason for doing all of it, you know, Eat to Live has got a lot of wiggle room depending on what you're trying to either cure or, you know, conquer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, where you're at in your life. So it does have a lot of adjustability. If you're trying to save your, if you're trying to save your life, of course, you need to be very, very strict diet-wise. But if you have a lot of wiggle room, then you can certainly add some of those other products back in of your choice. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's, I think a lot of it's still the same with the nuts and the seeds and eating clean, you know. So that's what I take when I think of eat to live. I think of eating very clean. And I think the one big difference is just the animal products. And I don't even think, I'll have to ask somebody else, because I'm reading more about paleo, so I'm not strict on all the, not up on all of the specifics. I'm not sure where dairy comes into it. I don't eat dairy as far as milk. I use the almond milk.
Once you get off of dairy, you don't even miss it, do you?
Right. No. No, I will say sometimes I miss cheese, but I'm not a huge cheese person. But I would much rather stick with the vegetables and clean stuff.
I don't.
But dairy, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about it?
I certainly advocate people educate themselves, because you need to, education is key in this area. And the previous callers there, it's like, yeah, anything that you do, it's a step in the right direction. But I certainly advocate continue to learn and read and educate yourself on this topic, and find your path, find your way, because it's an eye opener. This thing is certainly.
Well,
and
you have
Kevin's certainly on the right track, and I was hoping I would bend his ear, but I will attempt to catch him at another time. He don't like me calling in on the other show and burning up the airtime on health and wellness, but that's my number one topic in my life. That's what I do every day, and I've been on this path for five plus years, and it's changed my life, saved my life, and continue to do this thing called trucking and travel around the country. So.
Right. Well, and it's so true. Your passion with it is just so obvious, JW. So keep being an advocate for it. And anything, you know, that's what I remember, you know, when you came on, you shared about the Eat to Live and Dr. Furman. And I think all of it, I think you hit it on the nose where you said you have to do research and you have to, I think, and it is fascinating. Get fascinated about it, because this is your health, and it can make or break, you know, how you, your quality of life. So.
Yeah.
I love that you're such an advocate for that.
How could I be a part of the educational side of it at CMC next year? Somehow being plugged in and being there to help in that process if I could somehow.
You know
just
what? I'll be sure
to
let you know, because we're not sure what that looks like yet either. We do know, and what we're excited about with the new venue is being able to have more breakouts. And it was, JW, it was so obvious at CMC this year of everybody's just
My question to you is, how many of people that attended won't be alive next year at this time because they didn't address their health and wellness?
Well, obviously,
we
hope everybody is one step closer, healthier. I'll tell you that. It is not anybody who has been to past CMCs and was at this one, it was a noticeable difference. And I'm so grateful that Lisa and Kevin and Aaron and everybody have just embraced this.
It was so obvious. I've leaned on him pretty hard over the last couple of years, and I will continue to do so because, I think he's got a great knack for this sort of research. And you guys that are in your 50s or 50-ish have no idea what's going to happen to you 15 or 20 years from now. And I'm sitting here telling you, you better get after this, because it's not pretty when when your health leaves you and, you know, you have no choices.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there is no magic in that pill. Yep.
Right. And that's what we're hoping to promote is just being proactive. So appreciate you being a part of that, JW.
Well,
so
keep me in mind. Anytime I can help, feel free to contact me.
Absolutely. I will do that. Thanks, JW.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
You
too. Okay, let's head off to Missouri and talk to Becky. Becky, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Doing great. So you're in Missouri, huh? Are you guys traveling all weekend?
I will be. The Mutt and I are on our way to Louisiana.
Okay. L.A. So tell us, how have you been?
Headachy and kind of tired.
But actually,
I read it. You know that the headaches are not every day now, but I have read that this stuff can last for a month while your body completely transitions. So very normal. We've been doing about 3 miles a night. The dog and I have.
Good for you.
Yeah. So we've been doing that. We've been sleeping, well, he always slept good, but I've been sleeping a lot better since I got off the grain.
Is that right?
So I've been completely grain-free now for almost 2 weeks.
So congratulations, because that's amazing. What has been the easiest and what has been the biggest challenge out on the road?
The biggest challenge, I guess, is making sure you can find everything. I was kind of lucky. Yesterday I was at T&E getting some work done, so I was able to mosey up to Whole Foods and restock. So I'm getting ready to put a freezer in the truck so that I don't have to do that often. But I have really done what I can to stick to it. The beef I've been buying is grass-fed, just like in paleo.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the chicken, same thing with the eggs, tree nuts. In fact, I've got a big snack bucket. I put a picture of it on CMC Live that is cashews, almonds, craisins, coconut, and pistachios. It's just sitting right here on the floor. So if I want a snack, there I go.
Good.
Still a little bit high on the carbs. I think yesterday I was like at 80 grams. But that's a big reduction.
Yeah.
And I have found that the best way, if somebody's wanting to do this in there, because in the book, Grain Brain, he gives out the proportions of what you should have per day, broken down of protein, fat, and carbs. And if you'll do the MyFitnessPal, as you enter everything in, at the end of the day and throughout the day, you can actually go to the tab that says nutrition, and it will break out those three things, carbs, protein, and fat. And so
I love that.
That makes it easy. Yeah, it makes it easy throughout the day because at the end of the day, I can look and go, oh, looky here, I've had too many carbs, or I need to up my protein a little bit, or, I'm pretty much right on track for how I'm going to finish out my day.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. You know, I love my fitness. I love planning ahead the day too. Because if I don't, what's that saying? If you don't plan, you plan to fail. Because a lot of times I'll plan ahead the day and see, and then you can kind of break things out throughout the day, like space it out and make sure you're end of the day. And it gets kind of fun to do that. So every now and then, that's a good way to use my fitness pal too. So your challenge was, oh my gosh, I'm shaking my head when you were saying that. What was your challenge again? What was the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge was just changing the way you look at things. When we left the CMC, in fact, Russ he hasn't been grain-free yet, but he's been gluten-free for nearly 2 weeks, so he's gotten off the wheat. The biggest thing was we cleaned out our trucks before we left the CMC.
Oh, good for you.
I went grocery shopping and he cleaned out the truck. So, I mean, if it wasn't what we should be eating, we tossed it out. And And so it wasn't even in there anymore to cause an issue. So if I find food in here now, it's food that I can eat. And I'll tell you another thing that has helped as far as the tiredness, and it took me a week to figure out, well, you ding-dong, you haven't done any of the supplements he tells you to do. And so a couple of days ago, I hit Walmart and actually found all the supplements that he talks about, the DHA, the vitamin D, 3, the resveratrol, found every bit of it at Walmart and was able to go ahead and get it on the truck and start taking that. I've also been doing the Spark. That's probably the one more artificial thing I've been doing, because it's not really artificial. It's just basically a vitamin drink, but it is loaded with B vitamins. That has helped as well. But, the headaches aren't as bad. And, you know, I've kept Googling, and some people are like, some people it takes them 3-4 weeks to get past that point.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, the weight is falling off.
Is it? Good for you. And that will just help your running and everything. That's great.
Yeah, that's going to help the running and all of that stuff.
Yeah. How's your
energy level? The weight is falling
off. Even though you have the headaches and stuff, how's your energy level?
The energy level is coming back. For that first week, 10 days, I felt like I'd been run over by a truck. I mean, we would get out and do our 3 miles, but I felt like crap. And now the energy is starting to come back, starting to be able to do more. And it's just a matter of retraining your body. And let me tell you, I can't remember who said it a minute ago, the labels. You have to look at every single label that you can find, because stuff is hidden in everything that you eat. Stuff that is sold in the health food store that you think is going to be good? No. No, it's got all kinds of sugar, all kinds of stuff in it. So, you've just got to become very, very good at reading labels. And I guess the best thing, if you own your own truck, I think I'm doing a freezer instead of a larger refrigerator, is the more you can buy and store ahead of time, the easier it becomes.
Yeah. So when do you have a set time that you, based on your schedule or where you're going to be driving, when you plan it, can you do your week that way?
A little bit, just like right now. I mean, I stopped yesterday. I've got green beans, and you've got to think outside the box. So I was sitting there today. I was putting green beans in the crock pot, and I was getting ready to go in Waffle House and eat breakfast. And I'm like, dang, I don't have anything bacon to put in here. So I went inside, and I ordered eggs and bacon. And I'm like, oh, yeah, and I want another side of bacon, but I don't want you to cook it. And they're like, what? I'm like, no, I don't want you to cook it. I just want it in a to-go box. And so the bacon is in there with the green beans right now in the crock pot. So
Okay. Yeah. Well, good. You find different ways, and it makes it kind of fun to try that. Becky, you said a couple things that I just want to point out before we go. If anybody out there is not reading labels, do that. If it has a gazillion ingredients, if it has ingredients that you can't pronounce, put it back. And that's what they talk about in supermarkets, you know, to be on the outskirts, shop the outskirts of the supermarket and spend some time in the produce section and see the different wonderful produces. One of the gentlemen on one of the other shows shared on the road that you guys have quite a benefit, too, to being on the road, that there's fresh markets out there and farm markets, and you can go to different areas of the country. So there's actually a website, localharvest.org, where you can kind of see if there's a fresh or farmer's market wherever you're going to be, and go support them and get some food that hasn't been, you know, that's locally grown and hopefully organically grown, so it doesn't have all the junk in it. But, so read labels. That's perfect.
Definitely labels. And here's another thing, you know, that it finally kind of dawned on me one day. When you go to a farmer's market, it made me think of it when you said farmer's market, the vegetables aren't under refrigeration. So I got more broccoli and stuff than I can put in the fridge. I stick it up top, and as long as I eat it within, you know, 3 days or so, it's fine. But when you go to the farmer's market, the stuff isn't refrigerated. It's sitting out in bins.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So, yeah.
You know, you don't have to have as much storage as you think. I'm also dairy-free, by the way. I haven't done coconut milk and almond milk. So all at once, I got off of dairy, wheat, and grains, which is probably why my symptoms are a little more severe than the people who just... I mean, nothing like, you know, just jumping in the deep end of the pool and easy swim.
Well, and that's really neat. I mean, you've just discovered some great stuff, and there's alternatives to everything, and it's taken, I'm just so proud of you guys that have just taken, you know, take responsibility for your health and saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. And so there's, and there's, and you just rediscover stuff that is good and fresh and new. So good for you. So what is next for you?
Yeah, so do what?
What is next? What is next? Are you just, especially
what
when,
is
you
next? Now that I'm starting to feel better, I'm starting to train. I'm going to do that half marathon in Portland on the 4th of October.
Awesome.
And then I've got another half in November and then a full marathon in December. So now that I'm feeling better and the weight's coming off, that'll be – hopefully we can get trained up for that. And that's the other benefit, according to the book, of these of this diet is less inflammation. And inflammation is what gives you the things that makes you not be able to run, the sore knees, the shin splints, the, you know, the runner's knee, the and the list goes on and on and on. So I'm hoping that by dropping the weight and getting rid of all the inflammatory stuff that I can do a better job of keeping myself injury-free.
Yeah, and you're also going to be training your body to burn fat for energy, as opposed to all the, you know, the carb loading that we used to think we had to do before running. You're training your body to use itself better, you know, to burn fat for energy. So that'll be cool to see how that, as you start adding miles and you get, you know, further up there, it'll be interesting to talk with you and see how you feel and how that works for you.
Yeah. Exactly, because this guy doesn't really believe in really any carbs, but I know paleo, like sweet potatoes, are the holy grail. So I will probably keep more like the sweet potatoes because they are beneficial when you're running and exerting energy. But still, when you're talking overall carbs on the day, it's way less than what people normally ingest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I used to. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing, because I think it helps people so much to hear you guys that are they're on it, where you're at with it, and what you're doing that's exciting and fun that they're hopefully going to go try this next week, too, to help them. So, well, thanks so much, Becky.
Oh, and
you have
have a good weekend.
You, too. Thank you so much, and hope to talk to you next week. Okay, you guys, we are going to actually hit the road here. And, again, you know, we just took it an extra week more on talking about food and about the no-grain thing. So join us again next week where we talk about some exercising you can do with your truck. And we're going to talk to Jeff and hear how his competition went tomorrow, a little bit more about his journey. And he's got such a passion for helping drivers with health. So I hope to have him share with you a little bit more about that. But just, I mean, it's the next piece to the puzzle, you know, with, you know, eating right. And we all know, you know, that is number one. You cannot out-exercise bad eating. So this is just going to tag on to what we're doing right now. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you taking your time to join us today. And I hope you know you matter and your health matters to us. For those of you on the road this holiday weekend and who are at home, be safe, be well. So until next week, keep learning. Stay connected with like-minded people and be an advocate out there. Keep moving, be committed to you, and be a leader out there on the roads and at home in this health journey. So be healthy, be fit, do the hard work, and master this journey to health. Until next week, you guys, have a great week. Bye for now.